Hey, everybody, we're here for a first-run movie, the Darren Aronofsky Mother! Exclamation.
Yeah, don't forget that. They make a point of that in the opening credit.
Starring Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem,
Ed Harris,
the Man
Michelle
in Black,
Pfeiffer.
And Catwoman.
Yeah.
Jim, what do you think of this movie?
Holy shit, man. It is unmistakably Darren Aronofsky. Unmistakably. I mean... It has the absurdity and the, I guess the horror that I expect from Darren Aronofsky, having seen a couple of his films. Very reminiscent of the tone, I guess, of like Requiem. I thought anyway. What do you think?
I have two facts and a subjective opinion.
Okay. Are we going to play, see which one is which? Can I guess which one?
Sure.
It's a subjective opinion.
I sat there through this movie and I bounced rapidly between boredom, derision, and outright hostility.
Huh. Okay.
I hate this movie with every fiber of my being.
Okay.
And it currently sits at 78% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
So there's your three. There's your two facts and a subjective opinion, and I don't know. I mean I don't know what to think. Like I feel like there's three obvious interpretations of this movie, but I really just feel like I walked in a door and saw Aronofsky, Bardem, and Lawrence mutually masturbating. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be one. And they're like, no, stay. We're locked. And I was just, I honestly think if I wasn't watching First for Bald Move, I would have walked out.
Huh. Okay.
Like halfway through the movie.
I might have walked out too, but I had like one of the worst theater experiences of all time.
The whole theater was just inappropriately laughing.
Yeah.
No, I think appropriately there's... laughing at just some of the bullshit that was going on the screen. Now, again, this has got a 78% fresh rating, so I am probably in the minority, and I could this could be that I'm unwashed and I'm a Philistine and I don't get it.
Or
but,
it could be that you've had one viewing and you now have to instantly get on a microphone and tell your opinion about
right.
it.
Right, but I don't think I ever want to see this movie again.
But I feel like this is a movie that you need to sit with and think about and maybe see again,
maybe
even if you don't like it, to really kind of see where you come out on it because.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk too much about like the plot and stuff.
Uh-huh.
We'll save that for the spoiler section. But my experience was not only bad because of the inappropriate laughter. I was sitting right next to that guy, by the way, the guy who was laughing the loudest and the hardest.
Oh, you were in a theater?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know. I thought you were up in the north side.
No,
okay.
I was in the same theater.
All right.
And not only was that guy laughing hysterically at things that were meant to be off-putting and uncomfortable, he also had maybe the worst mildew smell I've ever smelled. And it was wafting in waves, just this pungent, disgusting
odor. That man?
I was so distracted.
That man? Darren Aronofsky. He wanted that. There was a sense that he couldn't quite offend with this movie, Jim. So he
goes to every theater.
He goes
with the coat he's had in his closet for 10 years.
He washes his clothes in Jennifer Lawrence's washing machine and leaves them there for 3 days until they dry naturally. And he sits in a random theater across North America, and those are the ones blessed to have his vision.
I like
Darren Aronofsky.
Distracted.
This is the second time I went to see a movie expecting to be creeped out and thought provoked, and it's the second. Although I will say that A Cure for Wellness was watchable.
Yeah,
like it just didn't hold together, make a lick of sense. But like I was entertained. This was the opposite of entertaining. Like I for the first five minutes, I'm like, okay. All right, I'm gonna give this movie some rope. Jennifer Lawrence looks really good in this nightgown. This is an interesting setting. Like I'm watching this old house, and almost from the moment Ed Harris showed up, I'm like, no, fuck all of this. And I hate it. I wish I could approach this more generously and open hearted.
Yeah.
I'm giving you my honest opinion, people.
No,
I really hated this movie.
What we should do on the podcast. I did not hate it. I'm still up in the air on it. I think it's very Darren Aronofsky. I don't know if I like it yet. And I don't know if I'm going to watch it again, but it certainly raises a lot of issues that are interesting to talk about, I suppose.
That might be.
And it does so in a very Aronofsky way, which hooks me. I like the combination of sort of crescendoing absurdity that Darren Aronofsky brings to his things, mixed with that very uncomfortable and often like grotesque depictions of things.
I guess, but like, I just feel like this is his most abstract thing that I've ever seen him in.
Yeah,
like,
for
this
sure.
is, you know, the black Swan was weird, but it was grounded and actually had a narrative. The Wrestler was just a great movie.
Wrestler's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. This movie just doesn't have a narrative. It's all a parable that.
Yeah, it's like
was
a metaphor.
Very important for Darren Aronofsky to share with the world.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, if this is his magnum opus, then I need a Rosetta Stone or something. Like I said, this is my knee-jerk reaction. I'm not opposed to seeing it again. I think everyone should probably see this movie because it's also, it's gorgeous.
It is, yeah.
It's not very entertaining, but my God, some of the shots and the construction is amazing. And the lighting,
mm-hmm.
some of the scenes are so dark, you're like just straight, but that was all an intentional effect, and I felt that. And I felt a lot of things watching it, but I did not have fun.
Boredom, hate, confusion.
just mocking. Like I almost like I wish I had this like one urge, just like I should just rip a big fart here. like my like the audience needs to give this movie a raspberry, you know.
One of these times you should, and then I'll come in and complain about my terrible theater experience, and you're like, oh yeah, that was me.
Yeah,
I was the raspberry ripper.
I was the mildew farter from the grassy knoll. Is there anything non-spoiler we want to talk about?
What'd you think about the performances?
I
thought. Maybe the best performance I thought was either Michelle Pfeiffer or
really
Javier Bardem. I don't know. Jennifer Lawrence's job is I don't like Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay yeah, I'm
biased against her. Just don't like her in general.
I'm the opposite. I find her very watchable and appealing.
So I'm probably like showing my biased ass right here when I say I don't think she quite pulled it off for me.
Right.
She had a much more difficult job than anyone else, though.
Sure.
So I'm not going to shit on her too much. I think she did easily a passable job.
Yeah.
Like, I think there are people who maybe could have pulled it off better, but, you know. Michelle Pfeiffer was awesome. She comes in, and I feel like she owns the screen whenever she's on it.
Okay.
And that's, you know, that's Michelle Pfeiffer. I think she's proved that she can do that kind of work over and over again.
Sure. I haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah, I saw her in that
thing you do.
No, I can't. Bernie Madoff documentary that HBO made.
Right.
Recently.
Right.
I can't think of the name of it.
Yep. The Ponzi scheme one, yeah.
Yeah. But she was great in that. She's great in this, too.
Okay.
And then Javier Bardem does, I guess, what he needs to do in this movie. And he's at times charming and at times scary, and mm-hmm. I think that's just the trademark of Javier Bardem.
Yeah, I mean he's well cast.
But I didn't think he had a particularly difficult role to play.
He had I thought in the third act he was called upon to ground the scenes when nothing was making sense.
Yeah.
When the movie stopped even trying to be something that could actually happen on this planet Earth and just went into Aronofsky's subconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And he did like a kind of a Keanu Reeves in The Matrix a little bit there, where like he was just dead. He was, I mean, I've seen Javier Bardem let off the chain, and he was just like centered and grounded and straight, a straight man for all the insanity that was going on around him.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's the thing, like that the third act in a movie, I was so over it that no tension was being created at all, because it felt very much like a dream. It actually really did feel like a bad dream. like one of those things where, you know, you get a call from your school and they say, hey, you're a credit hour short of graduating. You got to go back to high school. Mm-hmm. And the whole time the dream, you're like, this is bullshit. This is bullshit.
I know I passed those tests.
And I'm 40 fucking years old. I've had three different careers since then. What the fuck? I got to go back to this. This is just stupid. It's just stupid and dumb. And I said, I felt like the whole fucking movie. And and maybe that's
you're supposed to. I mean, that's how Jennifer Lawrence feels the whole time. Right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like it felt like an adult version of Dr. Seuss's Cat in a Hat, where this asshole cat just comes in, starts fucking shit up, and won't leave.
Yeah.
And no one listens to the protagonist. It was a very, I mean, I'm describing an emotional effect that the film, I think, was, I don't think they were going for derision and hatred, but the feeling like I was being buried alive by the movie, I think, was intentional and worked like a goddamn charm.
Yeah, me too.
So, me too. A little worked up about it.
Yeah, we'll probably get more worked up in the spoiler section. Yeah. That's kind of all the non-spoiler
I can't wait
stuff
to see the, like, I feel like there might be legitimate bloodshed in the forums with me coming, like, with us coming out. I don't know, because you're... Are you sandbagging how much you hated this film because I'm going so strong?
No.
Okay,
I think
so you're kind of you're really on the fence about it.
I am, yeah, for sure.
Because I thought you were going to come in and I was going to have to hold you back. That this is going you're going to be like this fucking David Lynch bullshit.
No. So this is the thing with Darren Aronofsky. I know what to expect going into an Aronofsky film, and for some reason, I'm willing to permit it. Whereas with David Lynch,
yeah, like,
I say go fuck.
I don't understand.
I think it's his hair.
You can't take David Lynch's Eraserhead shit seriously.
No.
Yeah,
fuck
that. Maybe. Like Darren Aronofsky looks like a guy who you'd be very impressed with at a cocktail party.
You know, I've never seen his hair.
Really?
If he has David Lynch hair, I might call bullshit on this whole thing.
No, he doesn't. He's okay. I would describe him as debonair.
I like when people have interesting and perhaps confusing and controversial and subtle things to say.
Uh-huh.
All right, Darren Aronofsky with
a regular haircut. He's like
a
kind of a chubby Clark Gable.
Yeah, type. Yeah. I just can't tolerate it when they identify their entire persona as that.
Hmm. Okay.
It's rough. It's rough, David Lynch. I'm saying tone it back a notch, make another movie, maybe I'll go. I want to see you on the red carpet with a decent-ass haircut.
Do you know he cast himself? You missed all this in Twin Peaks, but he actually cast himself as an FBI agent in Twin Peaks,
Oh my God.
The series, and then when they came back with Fire Walk With Me, he reprised the role. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, do you want to talk some trailers?
Yeah, let's do it.
I got in there in the middle of downsizing.
Yeah, I saw you walking.
And I saw Matt Damon approach what I can only describe as a massive bottle of Absolute vodka.
It is, yeah.
That was tapped, where people were like taking buckets up to it.
Yeah, like giant pitchers and stuff.
And Neil Patrick Harris was like gloating over some kind of model of a house he built. Can you tell me what the premise of this film is?
So the premise of downsizing is that in order to combat, I guess, overpopulation and resource scarcity,
I shrunk the population of the planet.
They shrink everyone, yeah, and they make it such a good offer that the people who get shrunk live in these lavish lifestyles.
Sure.
They were saying, "Oh, your $52,000 that you have in your savings account would translate to $12 million if you shrunk yourself."
Interesting. That's
the whole concept.
Okay, I'm down for it.
And how everybody who shrinks themselves lives this crazy, awesome party life scene.
Okay.
And I don't know where it goes from there.
I'm intrigued. That's a Ray Bradbury short story that I want to read.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I saw a new trailer for Flatliners where they really peeled back the supernatural elements and really pushed the psychological stuff forward, I thought.
Yeah, see, I'm...
It felt completely different from the last one.
I'm in on Flatliners. I don't know why people aren't. I never saw the original stuff of Flatliners, so...
Yeah, if people say it's the best thing since sliced bread, I'll go see it, but I have no interest.
Yeah.
Jigsaw.
No interest.
Yeah, I don't like torture porn, and this is just probably a shitty remake, reboot version of torture porn, so
yeah, it's like the
pass.
10th Saw movie.
Yeah, they
done.
Ran out of lead numbers. They had to go Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be Jigsaw 2, Jigsaw 3. Whole thing's being rebooted. Shape of Water. This is a weird Hellboy prequel sequel from Guillermo del Toro.
Oh yeah,
that's
with the
Abe. That's
gill
Abe.
Monster
that's Abe
thing.
Sapien in there.
Who?
That's the name of the fish monster.
Abe Sapien.
Abe Sapien. Haven't you seen Hellboy?
No.
Ah, me and Cecily watched the original 2 weeks ago. on a whim, and it holds up. It holds up. And they're also remaking Hellboy. They cast a sheriff from Stranger Things as Hellboy, and I just saw a picture of him, and he looks fucking badass.
Did he get jacked?
I mean, it's Hellboy hard to say. But yeah, but like that's he's like foam rubber jacked. I mean, like that was a full body prosthetic. So I don't know, but he looks like fucking Hellboy. It's pretty amazing. So I'll go see The Shape of Water. Sure, it's got Michael Shannon in it. A couple other people I didn't recognize. Michael Shannon is born to play a officious, righteous, short-sighted aid government agent of some type.
It's got the woman from. What was that name where the black women from the 60s are working at NASA?
Oh, yeah. Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, yeah. It's got the lead from that.
That's right. It does have her. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm interested in seeing that. Then here's the big bomb, Suburbicon.
Oh,
written by the Coen brothers, directed by George Clooney.
Starring Matt Damon.
It looks like Jason Bourne woke up in Pleasantville.
Uh-huh.
And he's got
a mob debt.
And he's not taking anybody's shit no more.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I'm intrigued. They have my interest.
Yeah. That one interested me probably the most out of all of them. I think it didn't until Joel and Ethan Coen popped up at the end, and I was like, okay, yeah, that
feels right.
Because
I was like, this is so weird. Why are they – like, I get why Matt Damon's in it. He's, like, really likes palling around George Clooney, and who the fuck wouldn't?
Right.
But then written by Joel and Ethan, I'm like,
yeah,
this could be good.
Mm-hmm.
This could be good. So, anyway, that's all the trailers. Did I miss anything before downsizing?
No.
Okay, because I was just a minute or two late.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to talk spoilers.
Okay.
I have no idea what horror the next X minutes of my life is going to hold.
I don't know either.
But if you want to know our full detailed thoughts on Mother! You're gonna have to be a member of the club.
All right, it's spoiler time.
All right.
Where do you want to start with
this
thing?
I want to know right now what you think the best interpretation for this movie is. Off the top of your fucking dome.
I think it's about a lot of things. I think it's about...
I want your top number one right now. Go.
I think it's about gender roles and differences.
Interesting.
I think it's about ego and selfishness as generosity.
Hmm.
I think it's about... The things that people will demand of you if you allow them to are more than you could possibly ever give.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, some of this stuff as, you know, a creator, because that's what we're doing here is creating content, sort of struck me. And I think that's what I liked about it the most.
Yeah, I do feel like there is a parable about the creative process.
Right.
And the relationship between the creator of content and the consumer of content.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty fucking overblown, in my opinion, but I was getting what they were putting down on those sectors.
Right. I don't plan to rip anybody's heart out and set it on a mantle anytime soon, but yeah, I think that's in there.
Okay. Do you think there's any relationship of mankind to nature? Like Jennifer Lawrence is Gaia, essentially, and... We are the people swarming over and taking. It's not sustainable, and we're going to burn it to a cinder.
Okay.
And I don't know what the theme of renewal is.
Well, there's like a literal versus. There are two types of creation, right? Like literal creation of things.
Yeah.
Like the baby in this movie, and then there's the creative, sort of. Less tangible stuff that you create, right? Like the poems.
I thought also, it's like, I don't know what Darren Aronofsky's religion views are, but I also thought there was a little bit of Jennifer Lawrence is God and everyone else is the creation, and maybe a Javier Bardem is a prophet of some sort.
Okay.
And
there is like a religion that forms around him.
Yeah, and like the fact that like, oh, we like they literally sacrificed their son, and then they're all around eating his body and reciting the words of the prophet. And I felt a very very Christian sense of that.
Okay.
But I'm like, I at that point in the movie, I was so fucking angry. I'm like, no, fuck you. I'm not.
I just continually thought, where is this going?
Uh-huh.
What are they going to end on? Because everything kept building and building and building. And then we got this quiet moment where Javier Bardem is sitting in this room with Jennifer Lawrence. She's just had a baby, and he's staring and staring and staring, and he wants to hold his child,
yeah,
and
like
she refuses to let him.
It's like the wolves in the fucking movie The Gray is what Javier Bardem. He's just outlasting Jennifer Lawrence. Like, you're gonna fall asleep, or your tits are gonna run dry, and I'm gonna pounce and grab the baby then.
Right, yeah. It was unsettling, because I'm very conflicted on that scene. Like, what am I supposed to feel there?
Right.
Like, who am I supposed to side with here? What's the right interpretation? And I honestly don't know. Even
and ultimately,
coming out of the movie.
I don't think you can take a real strong stance on any of this stuff, because it very early in the movie it takes a left turn into allegory and never really recovers. And that's the thing. Like, you know, the last time I felt tension was when she went down there and found the fuel oil container and there was a frog down there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's the last time I felt tense or afraid, because everything else past that was just ludicrous. Like,
yeah, it's not really a horror
Jennifer Lawrence got burned alive, but I didn't really care, because that's not really Jennifer Lawrence or even a recognizable person I can think of.
No, it strikes me as just...
These are mythical figures.
Yeah, they're... It's almost like a list of people that he is taking advantage of. That he is bleeding dry for his creativity.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I got out of it.
But what do you mean, list of people?
Like the person who wakes up at the very end is obviously not Jennifer Lawrence.
Sure.
They show that to let us know that this is a different person. And to me, that's representative of him doing this over and over. Like, this creative act is... That's why I say, like, sort of generosity as selfishness, because he to himself, he will say, oh, I'm giving all these things to people, right? And they're just things, and they can take them. We can make more. We can have more, whatever. Mm-hmm. And yet what he's really doing is taking from these people, taking their essence, as represented by ripping Jennifer Lawrence's heart out at the end.
But that's also the creative process, the fact that like every single time you create a great piece of art or literature, you all of your life experience goes into that,
and all your
conversations and all your relationships and everything. It's all grist for the mill, and you just leave, if you do it right, you leave nothing on the field, and then it's over, and then the first thing people say after they consume it is like, now do it again.
Sure, yeah.
You know, that's why sophomore albums tend to suck. It's why, sophomore films from an auteur director tend to suck. It's because that first effort they put their whole life onto, and now, like, what, are they going to go away for 20 years and get more perspective on things? Like,
right.
It's actually kind of crazy how much people can wring that sponge dry. Like, you think of people like... Aronofsky, for example, or the Spielbergs of the world, or the Nolans, or... the David Lynch's, like, how the fuck do they have this inexhaustible well of this inspiration?
Yeah.
Because, like I said, like, even I hated this film, but I do recognize it as, like, a piece of high art.
Oh, for sure. It's
and,
not
and
a run
someone,
of the horror movie.
And someone actually assembled all these pieces, and it does, if not make any kind of intellectual sense, it makes a certain kind of emotional sense.
Right.
Like, there's not a traditional three-act, like, you know, crescendo. There is, but it's all on the emotional plane. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have anything to do with characterizations or plots. Which, by the way, what the fuck is up with the Cain and Abel shit that happens in the middle of the movie?
The brothers?
Yeah. That's the thing. Like,
I don't fucking know,
a lot
man.
Of these, if I close my eyes and grab, like, a frame of the movie, I'm like, this is the parable of the creator's relationship with his fans. Oh,
right.
This is the relationship of a creator to his work. Oh, this represents the death of the author. Oh, this represents a rape of Mother Earth. But how can it all be?
It all is. I mean, that's the thing, right?
Everything is everything. Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, it's a complex stew, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like, that act of creation, both of something less tangible and also of life. I mean,
I just feel like this movie would have been, this feels like this is the Aaron complaint, but like, you peel 30 minutes away from it and take the stuff, like, what is your fucking point? Mm-hmm. Now, take everything away from the movie that doesn't directly support that point, and it would have been, I don't know, maybe it would have been more straightforward, and I would have enjoyed it more straightforward. But I fucking love the movie Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I didn't have
And I couldn't watch it. I got 10 minutes into it and said, fuck this.
It's not like I don't have big enough boy pants to watch a movie like this. Yeah. It just completely fell. It was like watching a Formula One car getting a wreck. It just destroyed itself at the atomic level by the time everything was done. I don't have much more to say about it.
No? Okay.
So, like, I will react to points that you want to bring up, I guess, or if anything else crosses my mind. But, like, what's up with the tentacle monster in the toilet?
I have no idea.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good question.
How does that fit into any of these paradigms?
I'm not entirely sure. That's why I say, like, I need to sit with it for a while and think about it, or maybe see it again, even.
I felt like this is a Trojan horse. There is a horror movie.
Yeah.
That then halfway through Aronofsky got bored with and decided to write something about how hard it is to be a creator or how hard it is to be married to a creator or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It definitely has. It starts off with more horror elements than it ends
Do you know what? Do you have a handle on what they were saying about Jennifer Hart or Jennifer Lawrence hearing the heart of the building and it was first alive and vibrant and then it got withered and black as the movie went on and it turns out that was her heart? But I felt like it was the spirit of their relationship or the house.
Yeah, I mean, there's something there about her trying to build this home, right? I mean,
why was Ed Harris dying of cough cancer?
That I don't know. Yeah. That's why I say it's like sort of got some gender role stuff mixed up in there as well, because
like
she's
to hear you
trying
talk more about that.
Well, she's trying to rebuild this house, right? That. The problem is I don't know how much of this is a fiction that is spun and how much of this is supposed to be like narrative truth. Because
is this
the house that burned down and she's rebuilding it for him, like as a tribute so that he can create? Like, is that what's actually happening or is that what she thinks is happening because she's woken up in some horrorscape? Like, I don't know. But if it's at like a face reading of it, she's fixing up this house and trying to make a home and she wants to have kids and she's building something. She's creating something, right? But it's not the same thing that he wants to create. And his ego is driven so much by the adoration of his fans and being told how amazing he is. And he's giving them far more of himself than he's giving her.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like somewhere along the way, like she figures that out. But then it gets fucked up because then they fuck and they have this kid. And I think that was probably the worst thing that could have happened at that point. Because it was clear that, I mean, I think it was clear from the beginning of the movie that he didn't really care for her that much. I think it's true what she says at the end, which is, you only loved that I loved you so much. I think she says that or someone else says that about him.
Maybe. I mean, it's weird because like if this was written by a woman, I would say it's like this is like an Alanis Morissette song. Like,
sure.
Uncle Joey came, sucked up all of her youth, and then broke up with her and moved after she outgrew him or he outgrew her. And, like, you know, this is like the thing that, like this particular type of predatory man does. Like, I'm gonna steal your youth and beauty. And then when you're all used up, I'm going to cast you aside.
And they make a point that he's much older than her, right?
Right. And that's something I've heard other female creators talk about, like the fact that like in Hollywood there's a lot of men that like want to steal your youth and vitality and take advantage of you and like. But this, I don't. Is Darren Aronofsky writing from that perspective?
I don't know,
because I feel like that's the thing that's. But there again, where does the Cain and Abel thing, where is the tentacle monster that bleeds when you try to plunge it?
Yeah, so much of that is confusing. And that's the driving emotion that I felt was confusion. Much like Jennifer Lawrence the whole time.
Right.
I was very confused.
Right. And then it's weird because like I felt like that she was going to do this fire starter moment where she was going to destroy the whole house with her righteous anger, but she self-immolated and really only killed herself. But again, that's none of that. This is all taking place on the astral plane. So what the fuck?
Right, because at the end you can clearly see like Javier Bardem is standing there when it explodes, and I guess somehow he's unscathed. And
yeah, she's badly burnt, and then she rips open her heart, and there's a diamond there, and
You know. Maybe that's because he doesn't care that much, and she literally can't hurt him.
Huh.
And so, I don't know. he's unscathed, and he tears out her heart, and he starts it all over again with someone else.
It's,
you know?
You ought to know all over again.
It is, yeah.
Okay, well, like I said, I'm willing to talk more about the movie, but I really don't have much to squeeze out of
it. That's fine.
I'm very curious to see what people say on the forums about it, and... you know,
I thought it was thought-provoking. I don't know if I'd call it... I certainly wouldn't call it enjoyable. It's not an enjoyable experience. But
that's
I think
thing.
It was good.
I guess if this time next week I'm still thinking about it, I will call it thought-provoking. Because I have a hard time saying something's thought-provoking when we can just rapid-fire brainstorm off the top of our head five different interpretations, and it takes about 5 minutes to articulate, and then we're done.
Well, I think it's one of those like it's a Nolan type movies where you can say, okay, here's the supporting evidence for this interpretation. Here's some other supporting evidence for my interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an argument and a discussion to be had there, which is what I find, I don't know, a compelling movie of this style.
Yeah, it's so weird because like Mulholland Drive, like you go back to David Lynch. The primary conversation is like what you decide whether you think it's a dream or not. And once you decide it's a dream, there really you can make it be about anything. And if it's about anything, then it's really about nothing. It's essentially a meditation on dreams and dreamlike qualities and what it feels like.
Right.
And that's fine for an artistic work, but like that's it. Like it's like a theme park ride. Like, oh, I rode this dream simulator and now I rode it, and like what does it mean, like, you know, what does it mean to ride the fucking Banshee at King's Island?
Yeah.
It is what it is. And here, like, there's not even that. Like, it doesn't even invite you to speculate whether it's real. Of course it's not real. There's no way any of this could be real. And it might not be a dream, because there's also no, it doesn't seem like there's any kind of like a threshold that's crossed where this was real, because it opens up with the time reversal thing and him setting the heart on the thing and then her waking up from this collapse of this house. So like there's at no point was there any grounding in reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all this magical dreamlike astral stuff. And so like there's not even like the Christopher Nolan like, okay, I'm now looking to prove my thesis because it's unprovable. I don't know.
But I'm looking for like what is the author trying to say, you know? What is the person who created this trying to say with this film?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think like film students will have a field day with this thing.
Yeah.
They're going to dig into it and really just not tear it apart. That's the wrong term, but like sink their teeth into it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, like I said, in as far as the art of filmmaking, there's a lot to discuss about that. And I mean, that would be a fruitful discussion too, like to go through and tell like all these different shots and how they are assembled to make the audience feel a particular way. But
I think
the other thing is I wonder if it's funny, because I was thinking on the way over, it's like, well, maybe if I saw this with a more respectful audience, because this was a pretty full house.
Yeah, it was.
But honestly, the first time I heard the derisive laughter, I was actually choking it back. Like, I wanted to be like, oh, for fuck. Like, if I was watching this at home, I'd have been like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
This is stupid. And as I was thinking that, a woman in front of me is like, and I'm like, okay. So, like, I
thought they were laughing. I thought they were genuinely, like, laughing as if this was a funny moment.
It felt like cruel laughter.
Really?
It felt like mocking laughter, I thought.
And the guy next to me, who was the only one I could pay attention to from sight, all my
Some
senses.
Smell, yeah.
Sight, sound, smell.
Was he moist?
All of it. I didn't touch him, but...
then it's not all your senses, sir.
It's true. He was the only one I could hear. He was laughing every time, like, something... Every time the absurdity was escalated. And I'm like, this is not supposed to be funny. This is supposed to be uncomfortable for Jennifer Lawrence. Like, she's not enjoying this, and that's what you're supposed to be getting. You're not supposed to be thinking, ha-ha, here come three more people into her house. Boy, that must suck for her. Like, that's not the point.
No, but it's more like the, I guess, people's reactions to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, she is like, these people are breaking her house that she spent so much time on fixing. And then every time she looks at her husband for, like, affirmation or that, he's just got this, like, idiot grin on his face. Like, isn't this wonderful?
Yeah.
And well, I guess we'll that's, it is, absurd in, like, the, you know, Fargo season two Camus sense of the word. And I guess that's the, that was the derisive laughter that was coming to me. Just of, like, how just fucking crazy and dare I say, Kafka-esque all this stuff was.
Yeah.
That, you know, the woman of the house has no say. All right, I keep saying I'm done talking about it, and then
one more
I keep
thing
talking about it. Yes, please.
I did really like the build up to the crescendo of the movie. I thought the way that kind of all started just it kept snowballing.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
I think it was masterfully done. This is this whole scene reminded me of the stuff from Requiem with the. Is it the grandma or the mother?
No.
I can't remember if she's his grandma or mother.
The one that loses his arm?
Yes.
I thought that's his mother.
I think it's his mom. She's watching the TV and there's that crazy game show on and she's taking the pills and it just gets worse and worse and crazier every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a very similar emotion in this movie when the whole thing was just going off the rails.
Right.
And it's just building up to
it was
lunacy.
This close to a Ron Burgundy Anchorman fight, though.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Like, you know, if
the lighting had been cranked up a little bit more, it would have been.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. If, what's that guy that plays Brick? The guy, Steve...
Carell?
Yeah, if he just cruised through with a grenade just screaming, it wouldn't have been out of place.
There was a grenade. Grenades were going
that's
off.
That's true,
yeah,
that's
like,
true.
They were everywhere.
Yeah.
No, it was wild.
It was, I mean, that 20 minutes is, it was an assault.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't say it wasn't ineffective. I just said I hated it with every fiber of my being, so.
Okay.
Some
people hate roller coasters, you know? It's not.
That's true.
Like, that's the thing.
It doesn't make him invalid.
No.
It's just some people don't like. I don't like torture porn.
I don't like David Lynch.
It's
irrational.
It's not. I don't like. You don't like Jennifer Lawrence. I don't like. What's her face? I've blocked her name out of her memory.
What is her face?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh right.
Don't
yeah.
like her. Don't like her Paltrow. Don't like her Goop. don't like her face. It's mm-hmm. You can't explain it. I'm just. I. If you love this movie, if you want to explain it to me, I'll be there in the forums. And
yeah,
just,
I'm going to be watching the.
I'm
forums
not. I'm not interested in arguing with people. I just want to hear what they thought and what it meant to them because, you know, that's the height of stupidity, a movie this fluid to be like, no, you're stupid and wrong if you think it was about this because
yeah.
Who the fuck can say other than Aronofsky? And he's the kind of fucker that would be, I'm not telling.
Yeah.
You know, this is about the death of the creator. You fucking missed it. And I'm dead. Don't ask me questions.
I'm a little disappointed that they never revealed what the poem said. That was interesting. So the poem was
yeah.
revealed visually, right? Like,
and it's a poem. It was just like a one-page deal. This guy was changed the world.
Yeah,
I feel like, I mean, I felt like in context that the poem. I mean, I'm trying to talk. This is all fucking happened in a dream. Why am I getting sucked into this? But
yeah.
It was what he said at the wake for Abel.
Yeah, right.
Because
and
the
it
people
was repeated
were
the
people
the
were
end,
quoting
yeah.
that. And all, but on the other hand, I don't understand why she would have that emotional reaction to it, and mm-hmm. why she would see this as a parable for renewal for them to be together and all that.
Right.
Maybe that's that's the creator's works being misinterpreted.
Hmm. I don't know, man. I'm done. I'm done with this movie.
All right.
I'm going to think about it some more, but I'm done with this podcast.
So our next movie is going to be Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Okay.
Which...
Directed by Darren Aronofsky.
Which is a real left turn out of Albuquerque from this film.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Then we got September 29th, American Made, which I believe is the... Leman directed the Tom Cruise as a drug pilot for this DEA kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then October 6th, we got Blade Runner 2049. So we're back.
There was a preview for that too, but it was the same old one.
Okay. We missed it last week. I'm sorry. I actually think I might watch it with Cecily and maybe talk about it next week, or because it's this big cultural phenomenon. I feel like I'm missing out if I don't see it.
Yeah, my girlfriend saw it. She really liked it.
And she's a big Stephen King fan.
She is, yeah.
So it's like the best of times, the worst of times with Stephen King fans. So you got The Dark Tower.
Kingdom Hospital.
Then you got It. What?
Under the Dome.
Oh.
Just listing all the ones that didn't quite work. The Stand.
So yeah, we got a run of three in a row. Maybe even more than that. I guess it'll be four in a row. It's really heating up. Going into Oscar season, going into Star Wars season.
Yeah.
Going into Thor Ragnarok season.
Oh, right.
I think that's coming up too. Mm-hmm. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed this. I don't know if to the extent that Aronofsky wanted us to enjoy the movie, I also want you to enjoy this review since you paid for it. Mm-hmm. But we'll be next week for a ridiculous movie, Kingsman 2. See you then.